Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening and stay connected.
New life. It's everywhere. It's all around us. Growing grass, blooming flowers, bright green leaves, yellow pollen. New life. Easter is new life. The new life of Christ is given to us at Easter. And in our lives, are we not always experiencing something new? Even, or maybe mostly, when we don't want to. So in Easter, we can hardly avoid the new thing that Christ is doing. And this week, in the readings, the new things that are happening, the promise of new life abounds. And where there is new life, can challenges be far behind? The kind of newness I experience in the readings is about refreshment, about growth, the kind of change that suggests possibility, new life, fresh starts. And right on the heels of that new life, anxiety, concern, worry. Now, I've been here a while, so most of you know that I'm a control freak. I have learned to work with and subdue my need to control, but it still finds a way to show itself, especially when a new thing is happening. Don't misunderstand me. I like the concept of new. Right? But the reality of new, not so much. I see the benefits of new things. I understand intellectually the importance of change, as long as it doesn't affect me. The chaos of the unknown can be too much. I need answers to the questions about where will I fit in? How will this all work out? And it won't be long before I find myself saying, I think I liked it better before. You know, back when, just fill in the blank. I've seen some heads agreeing. In Acts, Peter has had about all the change he can handle. Peter and the rest of the disciples are traveling around, talking in synagogues and in people's homes, bringing those who will listen the good news about Jesus. So it takes a trance, an angelic visit, and six men to help Peter understand the new thing of God's promise, the promise of life extended to all people, even Gentiles, God's love for all, an open invitation to come and share the love of God given freely for all. And then in the revelation to John, we hear that beautiful description and the possibility of new life, a new heaven and a new earth, a place that offers living water for all to drink. Those readings, I think, help prepare us to hear the words of the gospel. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. Jesus gives the gathered disciples those words because he is leaving. He is going to die. And life as they all know it is going to change, and change fast. Jesus tells the disciples, when you love one another, then others see that love, and then they see me. Can his friends hear him? Do they even grasp what he's saying? Do we grasp it? Is that our first response to a new thing? Love? Is that your response to a new thing? Our efforts to control our world produce the exact opposite of love. Our efforts to control can bring fear and anger and helplessness. Jesus knows that. He knows the first response to change is to close in, to shut out. And he asks, well, really, it's a commandment. So it's not really an asking. He commands us to do the opposite, to stay in community, to remain connected, to love one another. Jesus tells the disciples to love their way through the change that is coming, through the pain, the problems, the hurt, the difficulties, the personality differences, whatever. And Jesus tells us to love our way through the pain, the problems, the hurt, the difficulties, the personalities, the unknown of life. We are always facing new things in our homes, in our communities, in our church, in the nation, in the world. And now, when there is change, you know what to do. Love one another. Now, in a few minutes, we have the chance to offer each other a kiss of peace. That's what it used to be way back when. A very outward sign that demonstrates how we love each other. Trusting enough to place our hands and arms around another person to embrace heart to heart. Trusting that no one will stab us. Right? Then, loving each other, we arrive at this altar and receive a reminder of Christ's love in bread and wine. A reminder of our call to go and do likewise, to love another. This action is not new, because every time we open our hands and receive Christ's gift of love, we are doing a new thing. And we listen for those words, as I love you, love another. This isn't about God forcing you to do something you don't want to. This love is a gift, demonstrated to us fully in the life of Christ. We are invited to receive the love that God gives and to respond in kind. With love. So when I was about 4 or 5, I had a friend, Sheila. She lived 2 houses down the street from us. I had a big girl crush on her, big. She was a year older than I was, and I guess you can imagine why. She had long, brown, straight hair. She was tall. She could read chapter books. She had older sisters, record albums. She was my very best friend. I also have a brother, Bob, and he's 14 months younger than I am. And he also adored Sheila, and he was absolutely sure that Sheila was also his best friend. And I wish I could tell you that at 4 or 5, I believed that there was enough Sheila for both of us. I did not. And I found every and any way I could to get my brother away from Sheila and I. And my parents eventually had to intercede because my brother was so devastated at losing both his big sister and the love of his life. Our dad tried to convince us that Sheila was not always going to be around and that we needed to be friends with each other. We needed to love each other. And he wanted us to say that to each other. He was right, of course. But try as he might, he couldn't make us see the wisdom of his words. In the same way, God can't make you love someone. What we see and hear in the gospel is that love is available to us And things may go better when we lead out of love rather than fear. We are reminded again that love is what we are made for, that we are made in the image of love and called to love. Jesus knew this. The disciples came to know it. Peter came to know it. And we know, even if, like Peter, we need to be reminded of God's intention at our creation, to love each other. Our God is well aware of all that life throws at us, all the change and possibility that swirl around us, well aware of our decision to hold on to the knowns of life, well aware of our attempts to control. God is also aware that in the midst of change, there is new life. And in that new life, that's where we find love. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Amen.